So, today it's a very special day in the Buddhist community around the world, because maybe you know today is Vesak. Everybody know what's Vesak? Vesak Day in a Buddhist group around the world is a celebration by Buddhists of the birth of the Buddha. So it's celebrated in May. Usually the first full moon of May, which is today. So every year it changes, of course. And in some other tradition, like Theravada tradition, they not only celebrate the birth of the Buddha, but also the enlightenment and the death of the Buddha on the same day. So today it's a very special day for me as well. My first Dharma talk. And I have some bad news for you. It's going to be in French.
That's good.
No, I'm just kidding. But it will be definitely with a French accent. So a few weeks ago, Andy asked me to do a Dharma talk. Today I'm going to speak about Tokudo. Practice and precepts. In a few weeks or months, we don't know exactly yet, Karen and I, we are going to take Tokudo. What is Tokudo? Tokudo in Japanese is Shuke Tokudo. It's in fact the layman precepts. And it means in Japanese leaving home. So I'm not planning to leave home to live in the Zendo. I don't know if Karen does. I don't think so either. In our Western world and the Zen group in the US, taking Tokudo is mainly the lay monk precepts. So why taking Tokudo? Why I took the step? Last year I took Jukai, which is the first step when you take the Zen Buddhist precepts. And I think a few of you are taking Jukai next month. And Dan, maybe not? No, all right. And I think two other persons, not here today. So when you take Jukai, you have 16 precepts. I'm not going to go to this precept today. It's not a purpose of this talk. When you take Tokudo, first, why taking Tokudo? For me, I think taking Tokudo, it's to deepening my practice, to go deeper in my understanding of the Dharma, and also the commitment to my practice and a commitment to non-attachment. That's the first point. I will also say, for me, it's supporting the Sangha. When you become a lay monk or when you take Tokudo, you take the vow to support the Sangha. And reciprocally, it's both ways the Sangha support you spiritually. In Japan, in the country, of course, is different because the monks are begging in the street, or we are not doing that in the West, of course. But it's, I think for me, it's a spiritual support, both sides. And sometimes we need it, of course. And we saw in the past few months that the Sangha needed to be committed. And I just want to remember how it is beautiful to have Zizando here, close to us, just a few miles away, when thousands of people in the world, even in the US, are far away from a Zen center and are not able to meet every week like we do and support ourselves and meditate together. So I think it's a gift. And we have to be grateful for that as well. So the third point also for me to take Tokudo, it's about sharing the Dharma in my daily life. So when you take Tokudo, you are remembered about the Four Noble Truths, the Eightfold Path, and also in our tradition of Grand Mind Zen, we have four vows, which are the four vows of the Open Mind Zen Path. They're on the website if somebody wants to look at them. And they have been beautifully written by Sensei Al. So I will go back quickly about the Four Noble Truths, which are the basic of the Buddhist Dharma. The Four Noble Truths say that life is suffering. Second, that life is suffering. Why? Because we are deluded, we have attachment, because of our ego, and because of our craving. The third point of the Four Noble Truths is there is a way out of this suffering. And the Four Noble Truths say the way to go out of suffering is the Eightfold Path. So I will just enumerate the Eightfold Path: skillful view, skillful intention, skillful speech, skillful action, skillful livelihood, skillful effort, skillful mindfulness, and thinkful meditation. Now, what struck me mainly is that the four vows of Open Mind Zen Path. I'm going to read them because they are worth reading. Number one, may I treat my relationships as a vehicle for awakening the mind of enlightenment. Number two, may I treat my work as a vehicle for awakening the mind of enlightenment. Number three, may I treat my recreation as a vehicle for awakening the mind of enlightenment. Number four, may I treat my entire life as a vehicle of awakening the mind of enlightenment. So I think it's very important, and it reminds us that, of course, we are meeting on Sunday, we are sitting, we are meditating here. Most of us, we are meditating at home as well. It just reminds us that our practice does not stop on meditation cushion. It's everywhere, every moment of our life. So what is practice? What are the precepts? What is enlightenment? I will take some word from Dogen. You know Dogen, of course. Here we are speaking a lot about Dogen in Soto Zen. And Dogen says there is oneness of practice and realization. There is oneness of practice and enlightenment. So I will read some thing that Dogen wrote in Shobogenzo. Shobogenzo, that's the main writing of Dogen. I have this traduction, which is from Nishiyama and Shodocross, which is very literal and very close, apparently, to what Dogen was teaching, but it's pretty difficult. So there is another traduction, which is by Taz Kanazashi, I think. He's a Japanese Zen teacher in the U.S. He's 85. He's working most in San Francisco Zen Center and also with Upaya Zen Center with Roshi John Halifax. So Dogen in Jyoji is one of the fascicles in Shobogenzo. Jyoji means in Japanese, and Jyoji is written G-Y-O-J-I. So it means in Japanese practice of the precept or conduct and observance of the precepts. This is what Dogen said. On the great road of Buddha ancestors, there is always an unsurpassable practice continuous and sustained. It forms a circle of the way and is never cut off. Between aspiration, practice, enlightenment, and nirvana, there is not a moment's gap. Continuous practice is a circle of the way. This being so, continuous practice is unstained, not forced by you or others. The power of continuous practice confirms you as well as others. It means your practice affects the entire earth and the entire sky in the 10 directions. Also, not noticed by others or by yourself, it is so. So, what Dogen wants to tell us, my understanding is that Dogen says that practice is continuous, there is no gap. So, on the cushion, out of the cushion, in our daily life, whatever happens in our life, we have to take life as it is, and it's a way to practice. So that's why the four vows of open minds and paths, written by Sensei Hal, make great sense for me. Relationships, personal, professional, work, recreation, and our entire life. That's where we practice all the time. And Dogen say in this paragraph, the circle of the way end is never cut off. I'm going to cite Dogen one more time. In Bandowa, which is another fascicle of the Shobogenzo, which means Bandowa means a discourse of the practice of the way. Dogen speak about one again the oneness of practice enlightenment, no separation. Dogen says, thinking that practice and enlightenment are not one is no more than a view that is outside the way. In Buddha Dharma, practice and enlightenment are one and the same. Because it is a practice of enlightenment, a beginner's wholehearted practice of the way is exactly the totality of original enlightenment. For this reason, in conveying the essential attitude for practice, it is tough not to wait for enlightenment outside practice. So, in another way, practice and enlightenment are one. In the West, most of the time, what we do, we see time or what we are doing as a line. And in Eastern countries, like Asian countries, it's more like a circle, like an Enso. Here, we think we are here. We think that enlightenment is here, so we practice. Up and down, we try, and we want to catch enlightenment. Dogen does not say that. Dogen say, enlightenment is right here, right now, with us, in our sitting, in our life. Nothing else. It's there. 2 months ago, I forgot my water, so it's okay. 2 months ago, I have been in on a workshop in with another Sangha in Tampa. And the speaker, the person invited to this workshop was Ogenbe Roshi. Ogenbe Roshi is a Roshi of a great vow monastery in Oregon. And he's also the husband of Jan Shosenbe Roshi. You may, maybe you know her. She wrote several books also. Sorry. So what... So what Ogenbe Roshi said, what Hogan Beswosh, he say. He say when you're practicing, when you are, you try to be aligned with the precepts. And you practice in your life, you failed. We are human beings. We go back to your precept. You try to be aligned with your precept. You practice in your life, you fail again, again, and again. This is what practice and precepts are, and in our life. And what we have, and we don't want to forget also, that not only we practice for ourselves, but we practice for everybody around us, which is very important. I will take a few words from Charlotte Jokobek, maybe you know her. She said, practice at any stage is just being who you are at the moment. So whatever happened in your life, whatever you are doing, you are practicing. And sometimes, you know, we have some chores to do, something we don't want to do. And you say, oh, I don't want to do that. But if you go deeply in what you are doing and be one, if it's something you like, something you don't like, if you want to do that, if you do that, if you are one with that, you can do it right away and be one. And like Dogen say, forget body and mind in what you are doing. So for me, that's what I wanted to share about this practice, about Tokudo, about the precept, our practice. And I would like also to add something. I was listening at the podcast a few 2 days ago. Roshi John Halifax, who is a founder and abbot of Upaya Zen Center in New Mexico. She linked and she relate the 4 vows of the Bodhisattva that we are going to chant in a moment with the 4 Noble Truths. Sentient beings are numberless. I vow, we vow to free them. Life is suffering. We are trying to liberate and to free sentient beings from suffering. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to transform them. Life is suffering because of our delusions. Craving, ego. Practice paths are boundless. I vow to study them. There is a way to be out of suffering. Practice paths. The enlightened way is incomparable. I vow to embody it. We vow to embody it. The way to end suffering is the Eightfold Path. So to finish, I think I'm on time, trying to be in time, as Dogen said. I would like to finish with 2 or 3 minutes of guided meditation. So I will ask you to go back to your meditation posture. I will ring the bell to start, and I will ring the bell to finish. Breathing in, we try to be relaxed, to be at ease. Breathing out, we are one with our cushion. Breathing in, body and mind are one. Breathing out, we are one with Earth. Now, take a few minutes to reflect how, in the next few days, weeks, months, in the next year, how your practice will be in your relationships. In your work, in your recreation, in your entire life. Thank you. Any sharing about your practice, about something? Any questions? I don't want any questions. You can.
You
yes. Yes, you can.
I'm left a little speechless. That was really a beautiful, a stunning and profound talk. And my only question is, what took you so long? Where have you been hiding?
Wasn't at the right spot on the circle yet.
Nothing is hidden, said Hogan. Yeah. Everything is right here, right now.
Only ditto and echo what Karen has said, but I did have a question. Well, this notion of the practice that we try and we fail and we begin again and we try and we fail and we begin again, and I find a lot of relief in that because, of course, it does point to my humanity, our humanity, and the general nature of life. And I wonder, the question that came to me is, why do we begin again? What brings us back to that place where we say, you know, I'm going to try again. I'm going to stay on the path. And one of the things that you mentioned was the Sangha and how we can lean into the support of Sangha and that our commitment to others can be a real, I think, a force for, you know, a support. You talked about that in the beginning mm-hmm. of your talk, and I find that also very beautiful and very, very comforting. But I just wanted to introduce that question in case there's any other mm-hmm. insights to share.
I think it's a good question, and Dogen say, for example, also in Gyoji, a little bit further in the text, he says that if because going back to our center, going back to the practice, going back to the precepts, and today I did not read the 16 precepts that they are on the website and I could read them, but we know them, and there was a class a few months ago about them. He says that if everybody was following the precepts in the world, not killing, not misusing sexuality, not being overly intoxicated, and so not lying and everything like that, the world will be a perfect world, right? And the world is what it is right now. It is because, unfortunately, most of people don't follow the precepts. So I think we go back to this center because our nature, our Buddha nature, and remember, we think that we want to go to enlightenment. But Dogen says enlightenment is here because we are already enlightened. We don't know that. It's like the mirror which is full of dust or the... And you want to clear everything because we have Buddha nature. We are, and most of people don't know that. And for me, I think that's my explanation why we want to go back to doing good, to do one with the precepts. That's my understanding. Maybe you, some people can add something.
I'll add something briefly, and it's as a result of practice. When I fall off, I suffer, So it's like, okay, I don't want to do that again. So let's go back to, I need to work a little more on that. I need to practice my sit on the cushion a little more. I need to get my view where it should be with the precepts and connecting with other people. So every time I find myself slipping away from that, sometimes I don't even know that I'm slipping away until I feel not good. So that's what, for me, keeps it going. Yeah. You get a little further away each time. Or further along, or whatever. Maybe the circle
further around?
Maybe the circle gets smaller, bigger, I don't know.
Beautiful.
When you were asking the question, this poem kept going through my head, that it's Tagore, who I believe is a Russian poet. And it's, faith is the bird that feels the light and sings when the dawn is still dark.
Beautiful. Anything else? So we are going to finish with the four vows of the Bodhisattva.
I vow to embody it.